We are back, and I am relieved. Because
literally and figuratively.
Exactly.
I guess you could go in that direction, yeah. I love that they send some of what they roasted back to Origin.
All of it. It seems like it's just such an integrated process.
And it's such a simple thing to do.
Yeah, it's like a thank you note.
Bingo. Ooh, I like that.
It's a thank you.
Thank you for doing the hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we did with it.
This is the fruits of your labor that you don't get to try.
You don't get to try.
I mean, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's such a simple thing to do if you think about it. Maybe logistically, it's hard to do to get it, since they said the tracing's hard. Maybe they can't, but when they know how to get it back, they do it. Isn't it great?
I like how much they emphasize like ethical sourcing. They really do.
And how hard it is to do.
Yeah, because a lot of people would rather, and I'm only talking, I'm only talking from like the importing standpoint. I don't think producers really do this because that would require too much power that they already don't get.
They don't get, right.
But yeah, the way that importers have this power of kind of manipulating the situation to receive profit over value. And obviously this doesn't apply to all importers. But have I had an experience where it was just like, we need money first and then we'll give you what you want? Yeah. Mm. But no, everything Jessica was talking about, like, I absolutely love the term Pachamama.
Mm-hmm.
Pachamama? That was what it was.
Yeah.
My ignorant ass. but I just loved that so much. How much she, like, you could tell throughout the course of the episode how much it means to her. Everything that she's doing. She wanted to do something where it marked for her something that mattered, that kind of like the work that she's doing is contributing to something.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that it goes down deep for her. She's like, I'm respecting not just the people. I'm not just respecting what I'm doing. I'm respecting Mother Earth. And that's like where it all comes down to. And like her spirituality being such a huge part of it. Like everything she does, it seems like it's fully ingrained in her that this is something that I'm going to honor and respect. Yeah. And I love and respect her for that.
Yeah.
It makes me genuinely want to support her even more so. Like the sheer passion she has towards what she's doing.
Yeah.
It's infectious. It's like that's contagious. Like that's the kind of energy that I also want to be able to do.
All right. And I know she calls it, I know it's kind of hippie. I know it's kind of heavy. Like, yeah, you know, I think that's, it's just respectful. It's what we should be doing.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, this may have been the most in-depth conversation you had about the uncomfortable conversation.
Yeah, because even she started the initiation of that.
And you've had that conversation with everyone you've talked to in regards to the topic of the uncomfortable conversation. But I think this one really was enlightening of that, well, who's it uncomfortable for?
I loved that point. Why is it that we're the only ones uncomfortable by this conversation? Like, yeah. Why is it that we're meant to be the ones uncomfortable? Because in reality, it really is. Men get this, like, this free-for-all of open mouth almost, mm-hmm. where it's just like anything that comes out is kind of just like whatever, it's free for all. But like women just constantly have this, she brought up a lot of colonialism and colonization too, which has a huge part into a lot of the mindset that we are.
Sure. Yeah. And how she's seen the pattern and she's given it a name and she knows, okay, going to that country or working with them, that's what their attitude they're going to have, which is good. Pre-warned, forewarned. You know what you're working with.
Yeah.
Really. I'm very impressed with those two. Very, very impressed. Not that I have been impressed with everyone you've talked to, but wow, they just, they're taking it by the nuts and just go, we're going to do it this way.
Jewel also pointed out how like a lot of the path that women, they haven't really had the opportunity to, it's like they've made that path.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not to be this person, but as soon as they said that, I just really thought about what this podcast represents. It's like as much as like, because obviously the question was, do you feel like there's a rise in women inclusivity? And it's like, do you feel like it's being offered to women more of an opportunity to be at the table? And they both were like, well, there was never a part where we were invited. It's like we took it. And I think in general, when I'm talking about having these conversations and being uncomfortable and being confrontational and direct about these issues within the industry, from a systemic part to the producing like product part, like this is what this is all about. It's like, obviously, I didn't get a chance to really... get asked to be a part of this table, but I'm definitely taking it.
Right. And it's funny, once I got the feeling that when they answered that question, mm-hmm. that once they're there, nobody's kicking them out. I mean, if you know what I mean, it's like, we're there, we're here. Okay, let's keep pushing.
Yeah.
They're respecting the progress that's been made. Mm-hmm. And once they're there, they're just holding on to it.
Yeah, I liked how...
Or whoever is there at the table is like, mine, it's mine.
Jessica also, like, mentioned to not abuse your power. And, you know, right. Bailey, when she was the first person that came on, also was just like, mm-hmm. how she's had women who are like, well, I'm a woman and this is happening. I'm like, understand how the patriarchy lives in us is what Jessica was saying. Mm-hmm. As a woman, we have a responsibility towards us and not to abuse our power. I loved how she said that.
Yeah.
And
that's... You know, in part, that's being human, too. We all have ego, mm-hmm. and we have to keep it in check and be respectful and understand what was given to you, what you fought for, what was paved before you. You need to understand that can be taken away very quickly if you don't respect how it was gotten, how it was...
Right, I think.
And I keep saying given to, and she's right. It was never given.
Yeah, I think another thing is to also... Damn it. I literally lost the thought. Fuck. That sucks. I had a really good one.
It will come back. It will come back. But wow, talk about they're sourcing out all these. Mm-hmm. They're talking about countries I had no idea even produce coffee. I didn't know China did. But it shouldn't surprise me. But that's kind of cool.
Yeah. What's sad about the perception of Asia in terms of that culture is that everyone just assumes it's a tea-ridden country. And that's like...
Yeah, and that's true. Good point. I never thought of it that way, but I just never know China was a coffee-producing country.
I've had some really good China coffee.
Really? Okay. Yeah. And I'd love to try it. I mean, that's real interesting.
There's these countries that are under the scope of production where... Like Yemen is part of it. It's very underdeveloped, but it's present. There's good coffee available literally in all of these underdeveloped
countries. I can believe that.
The government doesn't give a fuck, which is stupid. Like how Jessica was saying about the Philippines not supporting. Mm-hmm. And then it's just, politics really get in the way of supporting the countries that are trying to uplift it.
And I'm hoping and assuming it's not just coffee that's singled out.
Probably not.
I hope not. But even if it is or it's not, it's still grouped and it's a problem. So you wouldn't think it would be singled out. But I was amazed that they're solving problems in their own little way. Little by little, sending what they made back. I think it's just so respectful for everything. It's just amazing. And then, really pushing that origins, like, no, she speaks Spanish. We're cool. Let's keep going further. don't bullshit a bullshitter here. It almost feels like, quit screwing around.
This is one of these moments where it's like...
Amazing.
I don't know if I'm the only person who suffers from this, but damn, do I wish I knew Spanish. It's one of those moments where it's like, I wish I could just go up to the producer and just have a fucking conversation about the coffee, about their life and their story. But I don't fucking speak Spanish. Like, there was a coffee we have that we're sourcing that is a woman-owned, woman-produced. And the importer has been really great about traceability and everything. And I told him, I was like, I would love to sit and talk to her and, like, get to know her as a person. Because it's like, I'm trying to build relationships here. And he's like, well, I can sit in and translate. Because sadly, she doesn't speak English. And I'm like, fuck. I was like, I don't want this barrier. Like, I hate the fact that I can't speak Spanish.
All right. But if you do have an importer that's willing to do that for you, it is a situation that's good, considering all the stories you have. And I have heard now of importers just being kind of total dicks. So not giving access to the producers. But now I think they're doing some really, really good stuff. How long have they had their coffee shop in play? Do you know?
You know, I should have, like I said, with all the research that I couldn't find. Of course, I don't go through the basic information.
It sounds like they've been doing it for a bit. So, yeah, that's great. Yeah.
New York's coffee scene is something else, I'll tell you what.
Must be.
Like, I'm just like, the more I'm speaking, a lot of the people that we've had on the show have been from the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like.
Yeah, there's not been a.
Bailey's from the West.
Well, and that's about it. Yeah. They need to even it out, kind of see what else is going on over there. Yeah, exactly.
I know.
Yeah.
I think in general, we got to figure out a bunch. And that's kind of sad that, like, a lot of the people that I've been interacting with are in predominantly the most populated areas. Like, it's people that are under the ground that people don't know much about. But here's the thing. It'll eventually come when it needs to come. Everything happens for a reason. Everything will fall into place.
Maybe more opportunity for that to happen in larger cities, too, than, let's say, a Columbus site or something like that.
Yeah.
You know that. I mean, you're here. You know exactly what's going on in Central Ohio. And
you know what's funny is
more opportunity.
At one point, I was working with Ruth on that winter blend, and I was like asking her for information on other roasters here in Ohio that are women. Because, of course, I would love to meet people who are more local. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be just easier. Plus, it's like, eventually, I would love to become more in person versus just the Zoom call.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting how she came back with only one other person.
Really? Yeah.
And I was like, wow, really goes to show how diverse this state is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But some have... If not now, when? Somebody's got to do something here.
Right. Well, we love us our Starbucks. Jeez, I'm
grabbing it. Yeah, we're still on that second wave kind of dark roast bullshit.
Yeesh. Jeez. Oh, wow. Wow, that's great interview. Hopefully they'll
Honestly,
be back.
Yeah,
it was really, everyone brings a different perspective in how they are handling what they have to handle. Let's put it that way. Because everybody's walking in their own unique situation and... you know, just even to the point of them, and we're kind of, you know, rehashing what the interview was, but just that looking at them from color first, then hearing them talk, and it's just all these different layers of horseshit.
Bullshit.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
As soon as she started talking about it, I'm like, you don't even need to explain it. Girl, wow. I've been in the same fucking position. Wow. That is so fucking frustrating. I have such a problem with the way Americans look at immigrants and the way that Americans look at people of color in general, but like the way that people don't give a fuck about how to address things, man.
Yeah.
What are you? Like, you don't
what
look.
Are you?
I fucking
exactly.
hate that question more than absolutely anything. And I get smart as fuck about it. I'm like, you're gonna ask me what I am? Do I look like a fucking animal to you? Absolutely
exactly.
not.
Exactly. Wow.
But no, like the way that she was talking about how everybody has this expectation of who she's supposed to be, and then she opens her mouth, and then she's the spectacle of fucking exotic nature. Like, what the fuck it goes back to what I said. America was built on immigrants. We're supposed to be normal here. And then all of a sudden shit flipped upside the fuck down at some point in history. And they're like, we've been here for so long, and nothing has fucking changed with this idea of this exotic creature that is anything that is not Caucasian and white and of European or Eurocentric value. And I'm like, you got to realize this country wasn't even built on white people.
Right. I mean, really, if you digged into the history and mm-hmm. kind of going off topic here,
nope.
but a little bit, but it's like America was never colorblind. Or race blind, or
yep.
where are you from? Country? I mean, come mm-hmm. on. The early days when the Irish came over because the potato plague and stuff. My God, when they came off the boat in New York, it was horrendous for them. And that's just one example. I mean, we've never really been a come on over. We are the melting pot. Well, that's kind of a branding thing, a PR thing that we put together that it's like, we are more welcoming than most countries. I'll give us that
okay.
in regards to yeah. coming over. I mean, seriously, you know.
I mean, like, even Jessica was like, we couldn't be the way that we are in
right.
Colombia or in the Philippines.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, obviously there's a certain level of openness that is naturally
but
accepted.
But not I don't think the terminology melting pot
yeah.
really should be used anymore. I guess looking at it, we are. But that,
visually.
But visually.
Only.
But it doesn't, it has the connotation of like, come on over. We want you to come on. Yeah, we loved it.
There's this welcoming spirit that everybody's welcome here. But in reality, once you step foot and live here, you're like, woo.
Not really. Exactly. That you can be here, but you have a place. You have a place to be in our caste society.
Yeah. We have now turned from coffee to politics.
We have. But again, to their point, though, yeah. I mean, it's not like we picked this subject out of midair. No, I totally get what where they're coming from, and maybe I was probably a dick when I was younger, but same time when it comes with age, you kind of go, who gives a shit, you know? Make some great coffee, that's cool, mm-hmm. You know. I'd love to have it, you know, and again, the grading thing, I don't get. I personally have never, at least I don't think I have, had a well-graded cup of coffee. I don't know what the difference is. I mean, I can't imagine that I'm going to, if I ever have one, and I'm not venturing to want to, that it's going to be the pivotal point in my life going, my life has changed, that I've had a high-rated coffee. I can't imagine. Coffee's coffee to me. Mm. I love the taste of coffee. I'm sure there is a difference. I'm sure there probably is, but it's like, I don't think it'll make a difference in my life if I ever have one.
It's kind of like the analogy of when you have like processed pasta and then homemade pasta. Like
okay.
The quality difference is there.
Okay. Okay.
And it's obviously like, it can be snobbish for some people who start to adapt to like, I'm only eating handmade, hand-rolled pasta.
Sure.
But in reality, yeah, like altogether coffee, the commodity is—it's a product of
There's much more to it than I think it's a close analogy, but there's a whole lot more.
Yeah, there's
to
just
it.
Like so many layers. But I'm like in reality, like when they asked me for my hot take, I should have brought up coffee bros. God fucking god damn it! Like the pretentiousness that is like I'm not gonna. I mean, it's been brought up in other episodes, right? Like, this is just like, it's reiterating a lot of the same problems that a lot of people who genuinely give a fuck about the coffee and the people versus just like this idea that the coffee is a pretty accessory to a personality trait. And I'm like, fuck you.
Oh, yeah. And how coffee got there. Oh my gosh. Talk about a PR job from the coffee industry to elevate it from the hot water crystal Nescafe. I maybe that's the pendulum swing. I don't know that it was. We got to get it out of this powder, you know, crystal instant coffee.
Instant coffee is a very interesting part of the coffee world.
I imagine it is. I'm not a very big fan of it, but.
Yeah, I feel like, speaking of.
It's okay.
I would love to bring somebody who's part of the instant coffee
world. That would be interesting.
And pick their brain because of all the things that I have absolutely no really good idea of. What coffee is being used, thrown into that pot of instant coffee? Because, here's the thing. American instant coffee, trash.
Is it okay?
Asian instant coffee, delicious.
Oh,
so
really?
It's really interesting. It's all very different in different parts of the world.
Oh, okay.
But, like, if you go to fucking Walmart and you get some shitty-ass instant coffee, best believe I'm not going to drink that shit.
I'm assuming that instant coffee was probably a World War II item that it was rationed, and here was the best way we could do it, and it just kind of stuck.
But it's a huge part of like that we go. But that here's the thing, we've been scaling only on the specialty coffee spectrum. A lot of micro roasters, so smaller roasters, like ones that aren't chain driven.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only chain driven one we had was Bailey. She works for a macro roaster who's Cafe Vita.
Right.
She also does not work there any longer. But she moved on to another place. But in general, there's specialty coffee and then there's commercial coffee. And commercial coffee is a whole other spectrum and a lot of different semantics.
Yeah.
But I also feel very ignorant in that space. And as somebody who is a sponge for knowledge, I would love to bring somebody who works in more commercialized coffee and understand the differences between the coffee production industries that we're both in and how they work. Because obviously I don't know enough. But,
that'd be interesting. You know, You're right. Yeah. You now have more homework to do. You didn't have enough already.
Never ending sourcing for people is always a good time for me.
Yeah. Good episode.
Mm-hmm.